So you got the dream now, right? Happens three times. Peter's waiting for his lunch. He happens to be hungry. He falls asleep while he's praying, which happens to all of us. And while he falls asleep, the sheet, the dream, the zoo comes out of heaven. And the voice says to Peter, "Kill and eat." Peter reacts by saying, "No, never, I won't." It's a only time this word is used in the New Testament. No, it's this reactive no. And who are you trying to tempt me? What Peter sees, it's more like what he'd see on a field trip to the wilderness or in the countryside. It's not his lunch. So Peter tells the voice no, not because it's some new diet restriction. It's because this is Peter's identity. We're at the core of Peter's identity now. Peter has boundaries in his life, not because he's being difficult, but because he's part of the people of God, the nation of Israel. Peter keeps himself pure. He doesn't eat these things that the Gentiles eat. His grandparents didn't eat these things. His heroes and heroines in his faith tradition, think Daniel in Babylon, they would never eat these things. So it comes from a deep place when Peter says, "No, never, I shall not." And who are you, this voice, trying to tempt me to eat these creatures? Three times Peter has the same dream. Three times he can answer differently if he wants. And then he wakes up. Have you ever had this dream, church? Do you dream about sheets full of animals visiting you in the night? Here are the most common dreams humans have. Let's see if we can name them. This is about the top 9 dreams we all experience. If you had to write the list, you could write some of these. First one, falling. Ever had the dream you're falling? Right? Uncontrollably falling from somewhere and you're in trouble. That's the first dream. Second dream, have you had this one? Driving an out of control car. You have that dream? That's actually my fantasy. I love fast cars. Number 3, students, do you have this dream? Taking tests? Do you dream about taking tests and not passing your tests, or you don't show up in time? This apparently is a very common dream. Number 4, naked in public. Yes, you dream that one? I have one person. Pastors dream this one all the time. We also, our bigger fear is that we show up and a microphone is on and we have nothing to say. They're about equal. Next dream, do you dream of flying through the sky? Well, apparently a lot of us dream of, being chased. Why not? Being chased, is that one of yours? Or flying through the sky without an airplane. We're flying on our own, like an animal. That's another popular dream. I didn't know about this one, but apparently many of us dream that we have to use the restroom and we can't find a toilet. Do you dream that? Don't tell us. I didn't know that was a common dream. This one, top of the list actually, that our teeth are falling out. Oh, you're there. You're there. This one has deep psychological implications that are above our pay scale at church. That's a big dream, that our teeth are falling out. How about this one? Do some of you dream that you are dying? Or you're suffocating, or it's over somehow? Top 9 dreams, but on nowhere, anywhere, on any list, do I see a top dream is a sheet of animals falling out of the sky? Apparently, we're working our things out other ways. We're being chased and we're falling and we're dying and we're suffocating. But nowhere, anywhere do I see in 2016 we are dreaming about a zoo coming out of the sky that might be our lunch. This is on no one's list anywhere. Some people say, well, this is because it's not our issue. Yeah, maybe it's not our issue. Scholars help us. They tell us it's not really about the animals at all, even though a few authors, maybe some of them are Adventist, want us to think this is about the animals, so be careful what you order at Doghouse this afternoon, because these are unclean animals, and remember, we're not going back on anything. Listen, friends, it matters what we eat. We care deeply about that. this is not the proof text for being vegetarian. The dream is not about the animals. God picks on the animals because the animals represent people. Peter sees all of these animals coming down to help people understand that God, if God created these people, God has made them clean. God has no partiality. And what God has made clean, people have no right to define otherwise or to treat otherwise. Peter needs to see this. So that it doesn't matter if he's interacting with people, if they say their prayers to his God or not, if they give their offerings to God or not, if they come to synagogue or not, if they're Sabbath keepers or not, if they were created by God, they're good. Acts 11 wants us to know. Jesus has gone to the cross and through the grave and to resurrection morning to show us God's generosity for all of creation. So Peter needs to know something new will be required since the resurrection. Some new habits and patterns. Peter, you can't quarantine yourself off. You'll have to come out of hiding now. You'll actually need to mix with other people. Experts help us with this dream. And then there are those who are quick to say, well, it's a good thing this is not our problem. We don't dream about animals and we don't need this dream. And according to one young author this week, who I will protect, one young author this week said, it's because in 2016, we're not really worried about circumcision and all that stuff. This is not our dream. So we could say the benediction and go home. Today, when people say out in the world that the church is dying of irrelevance because we have these dusty old stories from the Bible, friends, it's because we're not reading our Bible well. This story is alive today. Here's a headline. Here's a headline from the religious news source online this week. Just one headline. Whose side is God on? A short article that lets us know that in about half of the states in the United States of America, if I'm a business owner and you offend my personal religious convictions about God, I can refuse to serve you. Did you know that? About half the states in our country. This country is about 70% Christians, they say. People affiliate. About 70% of us claim to worship God. About 70% of us, maybe on the weekend, we're in church singing what a friend we have in Jesus. But when we get to Monday, all bets are off. On the weekend, we read the text that says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people, but on Monday, everybody for themselves. In one of the states, at least in our country, if your religious convictions offend my religious convictions, or if your lifestyle affects my religious convictions, I can fire you. I don't have to employ you. I can refuse to rent to you or to sell you my property. I can refuse adoption services or foster care if you offend my religious convictions. So it is on the weekend, the same Bible we use to learn love and forgiveness. By Monday, it's teaching discrimination and separate values. Glad this dream is not our problem. Just one headline this week. Peter's issue is not our issue. Peter's groupness is what is the problem. Peter's groupness, I'm going to say it that way, because Peter is a leader in the new Jesus movement, but before he was a leader in the Jesus movement, he was part of the nation of Israel, he was a Jew, and that matters tremendously. So it is that Peter's groupness now is what's in the way of this vision. We can have all sorts of evidence from Jesus. Peter can have Jesus' voice in his head. He can remember things Jesus taught him. He can remember the great commandment that we love one another. And still in Peter's head, there will be another movement. But wait, I don't mix with people. That they're not my people. They're not part of my group. When he stands in Cornelius's contaminated kitchen, that's what he says to him. You might be a good guy, but you're not my people. Peter has something happening in his friend heads, and we ought to be able to relate, Adventist Christians. I'm going to tell the true truth this morning. Sometimes we say it that way with the pastors. True truth means difficult truth. Is it okay if we tell the true truth this morning? Please, somebody say yes. Please, somebody say yes. If we think this is not our dream, I can tell you as a little girl who grew up in the very white Pacific Northwest, first time a little girl joined our class who didn't look like us, I think she came from Korea because when she opened her lunchbox, all this stuff came out that was smelled different. Things rolled up and sticky rice and smelly kimchi things. And she threw the math curve off the chart. She's not part of my group. I remember when my parents first took us to the Indian reservation in the north, in the Southwest, we were in New Mexico in the Navajo Nation, and I walked around surrounded by people with very dark skin who they were touching my blonde hair because they didn't really have it on the reservation. I was scared to death. These are not my people. I remember the first time walking around La Sierra University. The year was 1997, and I was an adult, but it seemed like everywhere I looked, people were speaking Spanish, and I wondered if I was in the right place. Is this my group? I didn't even get to the religious stuff yet, did I? Adventist Christians. Sometimes it's our groupness. For Peter, this is what is in his head. Let's see if we can illustrate it this way. Tonya, I've got a rope, and we'll need two more people. Thank you. We need two more people this morning. If you just come, it would be easier. And if you're over the age of 18, it would be easier. We'll need one on this side of the platform and one on this side of the platform. Would two of you come? Perfect. Just thank you, Dean. Perfect. I was going to ask your wife if she wanted a tug of war with you, but I thought that might not go well for lunch. It went, oh, looky, looky. Well, that was that. She's a woman after my own heart. Perfect. So here's what I think is going on in Peter's head. You're going to be the early voice in Peter's faith tradition, right? Because early on, since Genesis chapter 7, people have been telling Peter's people to separate, been grouping things between clean and unclean. Since Genesis 7 and Noah's Ark, the priests have been saying, separate, stay clean. We don't want you to be contaminated, pure, not profane. Why? Why is this so important? Because they've been to Egypt. They've been slaves. They know trouble, and they're not going back. So they'll do whatever. They'll obey whatever kind of rules. So holy God, we'll be a holy people if this will keep us out of Egypt, right? Holy people, right here. She's ruled by the priestly tradition. The priests tell you to eat right, have sex right, work right, pick your crops right, trade right, worship right, do it all right. No contamination allowed, all right? We're not going back to Egypt.
No.
Well, you're on board. Good girl. The priests, we're going to need help with you. These are the words that the priests shout. This side of the sanctuary, all of you, these will be your words. Separate, sacrifice, spotless. We're going to chant it. Separate, sacrifice, spotless. I can't hear you. Separate, sacrifice, spotless. Now freeze. Because a few generations later, the prophetic tradition comes along and says, we understand what was happening, but actually, you people have turned all inward now. You're excluding the priests speaking for God. Say, I don't want that worship. I don't want those sacrifices. Actually, that's repulsive to me. You've excluded people. There's widows, there's orphans, there's aliens, there's the poor. I needed you to engage, not exclude the priests. Don't you like this side of the story better? Okay, we'll talk about this over lunch, maybe. Here's the prophetic side. So a few generations later, the prophetic side now shouts back, and here are your words on this side of the congregation. Mix, mingle, mend. Can you say that? Mix, mingle, mend. Louder. Mix, mingle, mend. Separate, sacrifice, spotless. All together. Separate, sacrifice. Pull, pull. Keep talking. Keep going. Somebody's going to win. You're going to let her win? Perfect freeze. freeze. Just, this is what's going on inside of Peter's brain. He has what appear to be fundamentally incompatible voices. One side of his faith tradition is saying, separate. We don't want to be contaminated. The other side of his tradition is saying, wait a minute, engage. We need you to mend the world. Thank you. You can be seated. Good job, Ninos. Tug of war messages in his mind. Do we exclude or do we embrace? Which message wins? Which voice? Adventist Christianity. We ought to know these messages too. How can we embrace if we can't sit at the same table and use the same utensils? How will we be able to embrace and embody if we can't get next to the widow who's bleeding today? They're fundamentally incompatible messages. And when Peter's standing in Cornelius's kitchen, he's trying to understand the meaning of the vision, but the meaning of the vision is right in front of his face. Peter, there will be a new way of moving forward. Three times Peter has this dream, and three times Peter says no, and my thesis is that it's not so easy to switch the lever. If you have competing messages in your brain, like I do, like Peter did, then flipping the switch off is not so easy. Peter's no, it comes after years of conditioning. It comes after years of ingrained habits and ideas, and some of them we've been taught come at the hand of God. Peter wouldn't know there's anything wrong with being in Cornelius's house, but that he's been taught this. So a dream, a generous display of God's love falls down from heaven, and still on the inside, Peter's thinking, no, but that really, it can't be this. Competing messages in his mind. So even he can summarize what he thinks is going on. Acts 11, Peter says, if then God gave them the same gift, the Gentiles, who am I that I could prohibit God from giving them the Holy Spirit? Yet the struggle is real while his mouth is moving. Crossing this border, this boundary, is difficult. If you've spent your whole life erecting borders and boundaries, tearing them down takes a lifetime. This is Peter's story this morning. Maybe we can go easy on him, friends. Maybe we can go easy on each other when we see ourselves bumping up into sort of preferences and biases and favoritisms and partialities and even prejudices that lead us actions, thoughts that lead to actions. Maybe we can go easy on one another when we understand this comes from years of ingrained thinking and behaving. In many, many places, we were taught these ideas came from God. It's not so simple to switch the flip, What's the word there? To flip the switch. It's not so easy to switch the lever off. Oh, I'll just go ahead and break down this boundary now. It's not so easy. Or Harriet Tubman would have been on the first bill in 1862 when the Federal Reserve decided to print money. She would have been on the first bill from the U.S. Treasury. She's retired by the time they start printing money. And when she retires, this lady has already served the Union Army as cook and nurse and spy and scout for the Army. Did you know she did that before? She rescued at least 700 slaves. If we could switch the lever, she wouldn't have waited 154 years to be honored. New practices of boundary breaking that requires all of us. And it is the work of a lifetime to move from caring about what God cares about to caring for what God cares for. We'll have to do some boundary breaking. Oh, I know exactly what I'm talking about, and it's so sensitive and it's embarrassing and shameful. Just this week, we hired someone in our home, and while I'm hiring her, that feeling of the smugness and the superiority that comes over us sometimes, friends, you must feel it too sometimes. I'm hiring someone to do tasks in our home that I don't want to do, and we don't speak the same language, and while I'm employing her and getting money ready, and I'm feeling so superior because I don't have to do this work, my mind goes back to when I was 18 years old and holding three jobs and cleaning someone else's house so we could get educated. Why did I feel so smug this week? Breaking boundaries takes all of us. It is the work of a lifetime. Peter doesn't get it all this day. I do think it's interesting in Acts 10, it's humorous to me. While he's standing in the kitchen of the contaminated Cornelius, while he's saying to him, do you know I'm not supposed to be here? Do you know I'm breaking all the rules? If my grandfather knew I was here, while all that's going on, Peter also says this, I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. I'm really learning this. He goes on and he begins his little sermon that happens that day. I don't know if he meant to say this out loud or not. It's like a little light bulb went off in his head, and while he's surrounded with people, I'm really learning a new thing while I'm standing here talking to people I shouldn't be talking to. It's really rather very beautiful. Before Peter has it all figured out, he woke up that day from his dream and he obeyed the voice of the Spirit. And he went. He showed up. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that we read about all the way through the book of Acts. It turns out it wasn't just for resurrection morning. It's not just for the earth made new. It's not just for the new converts they hoped to bring in. The power of the Holy Spirit was actually for the disciples of Jesus being reshaped and transformed as they were leading. Power of the Holy Spirit is alive today, the same power for us today. It doesn't get resolved for Peter in one episode. We'll talk about this now for the next 3 or 4 weeks. In fact, in just a few chapters, Peter will be ready to throw in the whole towel. He doesn't think he should go to the Gentiles at all. Because flipping the lever is hard work. All of my questions about this story don't get answered today either. You must have them. Since first service, I already have emails from people who have them. If our groupness, the boundaries of our group here, if the boundaries are going to be dissolved, why are we in a group then today? At the end of this story, all of these boundaries disappear. Why group together now? One of you must want to know about that. I do. All of the questions don't get answered in this story. Neither do all the anxieties need to be pulled into this story, friends. What we learn from Peter is it's just the Spirit's voice today and the courage to respond to it today. Tomorrow's anxieties will work themselves out. Today, the groupness is interfering with the gospel. When the groupness interferes with the gospel, some boundaries need adjusting. This is Acts chapter 11. What can we do about this? This will trouble you. You should not be able to go and eat your lunch in peace now. You should be disturbed. This is what the gospel does to us. Well, what can we do? I don't want my boundaries, my groupness, to be in the way of the gospel. Listen, just step into the teaching of the Spirit. Let's educate ourselves. Small things we can do. Pick up a book and read something you would not have read on this topic. I'll recommend 3 this morning. Pick up the book Unclean by Richard Beck. Unclean. The whole book talks about what we saw on display here. Why do we feel contempt and disgust at people who are different than us? Pick up the book, Hospitality. Pick up the book from Jim Wallace, his newest book this week, called America's Original Sin, America and Racism, brand new. Have you watched any of the biographies of Malala yet? The Peace Prize winning teenager from Pakistan, and listen to her tell her story. Oh, good grief, it's so easy now because we have Netflix. Just go get on Netflix and watch something today. Tomorrow, you can watch Fair Tomato. Watch the tomato come from the crop with the underpaid field workers that makes its way all the way to our haystack on Sabbath afternoon. Boundary breaking takes all of us. Boundary breaking that allows the gospel to be the gospel. When I was a little one, pretty little, so little I don't remember the story, our family was off to the beach one weekend, big old ugly station wagon. I do remember that. This is before seatbelts, so kids can just lay all over the car and you're safe. Where do kids lay in big old station wagons? In the back. So you can watch out. It was nighttime. The sun had gone down. We're on our way to the beach. My mother had prayed all week that we would have good weather for our camping trip. She prayed the most ridiculous prayer if you live in the Northwest. Please, will we have no rain this weekend? My mom regularly prayed for the weather. While we were driving to the coast, the rain began, and it began hard, and the wind was blowing in the cars, and you can tell we're in for a good long soak for the weekend. My mom begins to rant. I just prayed for dry weather this weekend. I can't believe it. All of us, four kids, camping in the rain. Here we go again. I just wanted dry weather. Her laments. I know them well. She tells me that there's a little voice in the back of the car that says to her, "Mama, somewhere, someone probably prayed for rain this weekend," said little voice. "What's God supposed to do, Mama?" Then little voice said, "Maybe the rain is not about us. So glad my mom told me that story often, persuading herself, persuading me. Sometimes boundary breaking is necessary. Can I leave you with this as a prayer today before our last song? Words from Sarah Bessie. "Today I want to practice faithfulness and kindness. I'm learning to fill my ears with repetitions of wide eyes and open hands and innocent fun, holy laughter. I want to practice with intention, joy. I want to tell the truth, but first I want to live the truth. So I won't desecrate beauty with cynicism anymore. I won't confuse critical thinking with a critical spirit. And I will practice painfully over and over patience and peace until my gentle answers turn away even my own wrath. I will breathe fresh air while I learn all over again, grace freely given and wisdom honored. And when my fingers fumble and when I sound flat or sharp, I will simply, by the power of the Spirit, try again."